Bother me. Okay. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to episode 210 of Empty Betters. I'm your host, Harrison Scholes, and I'm going to toss it across the screen to my co-host, Mr. Nick Manella. What's going on, my friend?
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs, baby. Fired up. Eastern Conference preview. I think we can all agree these are our favorite episodes of the year, or among our favorite episodes of the year. So I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. Our group chat was popping before this, and I know we were all saying like this is probably our favorite episode or episodes of the year is the previews right before round one and all the chaos ensues. But I'm going to toss it across the screen to my other co-host up in Wisconsin, Mr. Mac Vogel. What's going on?
How we doing? Let's get into it. I'm super pumped. Like you guys said, this is always like my absolute favorite episode of the year. And on top of that, I also just finished a huge project at work today, so I'm feeling good. I've got a little bit of a little bourbon and iced coffee here to get the juices going, and
Oof.
yeah, I'm ready to say some ignorant shit about your favorite NHL
It
teams.
is absolutely like it's not a beer episode. Let's be real. It's a mixie episode for sure.
Love the
Absolutely.
energy. Yep. I
Yeah,
will
I mean,
say, disclaimer, I'm battling the spring allergies, a little bit of congestion. So if you hear it in my voice, that would be why.
yeah, I can imagine this episode is gonna ruffle some feathers listening, perhaps. I'm really excited to hear the feedback on that. Before we get into each series, I just want to say one fun fact, because this has been a very hot topic around the NHL over the past couple weeks, past couple years, to be honest. Every year it gets brought up. If it was a 1-8 format, like this, the matchups would be different. And you would be right. I mean, some of them have a lot of repeat. Year over year, we have a couple of those that we're going to talk about. But did you know that the Eastern Conference matchups would be exactly the same if the NHL did do a 1-8 format? So we cannot bitch about that too hard right now.
There was a lot of bitching just about how the East went down in general, though. I don't know about you guys. I was certainly surprised to see what fan base I was actually pulling for at the start of this year, who I now have to say is absolutely like holding one of the top three spots in the delusion club.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't agree more. Obviously, if some of you may have saw it, I tweeted something I thought was pretty regular, pretty normal the other day about the Caps and how it all went down. And I proceeded to get just an absolute moron parade of several different fan bases, but mostly of one in my mentions for the next couple of days. And what's funny is this, it's days ago now that these teams got eliminated, the Red Wings, the Flyers, the Cat, or sorry, the Red Wings, the Flyers, the Penguins. And what's crazy to me, I mean, I know it stings like getting eliminated from playoff stuff, but like some guy was still commenting on it today about like the Red Wings. And I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, let it go. Like it's over. Like
They
they're
already flew home. Like they're already done.
yeah, I'm like, stop fucking bitching about it. Like, I'm sorry. I know it sucks. Like I'd be probably bitching about it too, but I don't know.
I
It's
feel
annoying.
them. Like, I've been there before when your team doesn't make it, it
Yeah.
sucks. But
Yeah, but to shit talk on the internet, like
you
to a
also
random
like
guy.
you just didn't deserve to be there. If you're arguing about, oh, well, like we should have had this tiebreaker or the tiebreaker is stupid, it's don't let yourself get in that position in the first
Yeah.
place
And
and win 5 of your last 10
I
games.
love what somebody said too. It's like, no, the rules are fine. They don't need to change it for your fucking team because
Yeah.
you didn't get it. Like it's like they no one would be bitching if their team got it about the
Exactly.
rules. So it's like
I think I tweeted the same day as Mac. I thought I was hoping mine would get some traction like his did. He killed it. But I think I tweeted like, if the fate of your season is in the hands of an iPad that has ESPN Plus streaming in Torts's hands with 5 minutes left in
Yeah,
game 82,
you
you
fucked
have
up.
the root of the problem is not
Yeah,
is
it's
what
like
you think it
the
is. Yeah.
commercial in Flex Seal when he's like, I sawed this boat in half. It's like, what do you think is going to happen to it? Yeah, it's not going to
Yeah.
go very well.
We've taken a
Love
lot
that.
of shit from Detroit fans this season, a
Yeah,
lot
we
of
have.
shit.
We really
But
have.
it's all good. It's all good. No hate towards the Wings. Funny thing is, I think we
I
all
like the
kind
wings.
of like the
Yeah, I
Wings.
do. I get.
You know, you call it like it is, and
ridiculous.
Man. We're just going to call it payback for 98. So
there
it
you
is
go.
What it is.
There we go. There we go. All
well,
right.
We are going to hop
let's
into.
Let's talk about the teams who did make the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. We are going to hop into the series previews right now. But before we do, I think Nick has a word from our friends at Kane Footwear.
Absolutely. You guys know everyone is getting geared up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, except for the Detroit Red Wings. So, you know, they probably are recovering in their offseason by using Kane Footwear. I don't know if you guys have checked it out, but the BC men's hockey team, including soon to be Washington Capital Ryan Leonard, was had his Canes on the other day. So head to the link in our bio today to get a pair of the most comfortable recovery shoes you will ever own. Sorry, I had a stroke there for a second.
It's okay. I just want to echo what you were saying. Beach season is soon. Pool season
yes.
is soon. These shoes are great. I'm leaving for the beach in about a month for vacation. I'm going to get a nice, fresh, icy pair. And yeah, they're awesome summer shoes.
Harry, you know what's awesome?
What?
The Penguins can't ruin your vacation this year.
That is, you know what, Mac? Like, as funny as that is, it is like blood boiling as that sometimes makes me. I am kind of happy about it.
It
I
is nice
happy.
To have like the
it,
year
it
off.
Is. Yeah.
Like, don't get me
yeah.
wrong. Like last year I was like, you know what? It is nice to just be a
yeah.
fly on the wall, to
it
not
is.
Be
In
insanely
some ways.
Stressed out. And
yeah.
I was very quickly this past week reminded of what that feels like. And it's
yeah.
the best and worst feeling at the same time.
Yep. And also like I don't know about you guys, but there's always at least one important like playoff game for my team that I like can't catch or whatever, like got some other shit I gotta do or whatever. And I get the worst like FOMO mixed with like stress and anxiety where I'm like checking my scores and it always ends up being like the most eventful game and people are texting me, did you see that or whatever? So like,
is there one that like stands out to you that's like, I will never forget where I was when I couldn't watch that game?
Yeah, I think the one that comes to mind is this must have been, I think it was game 6 against the Leafs round 1.
Mojo.
Yes, but it was actually, I don't think it was the game. I don't think it was the series clincher. It was there a game where Williams scored like
game
a,
5.
Yeah, I think it was that one. I was at like a fucking sorority day party at for my college girlfriend who sucks or whatever, but
mine, yeah. The one that always jumps out is my college ex who also sucked.
Yeah.
Her family like came to Towson to take her to dinner for like her graduation.
Yep.
And it was Caps Bolts 2018 game 7.
Oh,
and she goes, you can't watch this game. Like you can't have your phone out at the table. You can't be checking scores. Like it's rude. It's like, I'll get pissed. And so, yeah, big time. And
yeah.
So, like my phone is vibrating the entire night. I had like 400 text messages, 20 notifications from like the NHL app.
Wow.
And finally, with what to me felt like 4 hours, I just couldn't bear it anymore. And her brother was like, I got to use the bathroom. And I was like, me too. Just
yep.
went in there, pulled my
yep.
phone out, and I saw the
yeah.
Caps were up. What was it, like 3-0, 4-0, something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
A good one. That's actually a great question. I just looked because I remembered the game. I couldn't remember the year or the round, but it was 2013. Brooks Orpik, out of all people, OT winner for the Pens in round 1 against the Islanders to secure the series. I think I was in Virginia Beach for vacation with my family. And we were listening on the XM radio back in the day. And my dad and I actually had to pull the car over in like a little town and found like a little bar to watch the end of the third period. My mom and sister like stayed in the car and we got to watch the OT winner like live in some random Virginia place. Couldn't tell you where it was, but good
that's
stuff.
Awesome. I'll say one more. Now that you said the XM radio thing, we were driving to Long Island to visit my my extended family 1 year, and we were listening to, I forget if it was like double or triple overtime against the Rangers. Chimera scored that bullshit ass goal that was like just it like snuck behind Lundqvist and he just like tapped it in or whatever. But I will never forget. Like I'm just like shaking in the back of the car listening to that at like full volume and just went nuts in the back seat when that went in. So
that like, and that was in the heat of them like never winning overtime
games
too. So that
especially
was
against the Ranger, just
yeah.
like I'm just preparing for, and I'm on my way to New York too. So I'm like, I'm preparing like, for all my asshole Ranger cousins to like shove this in my face. And then I got to do it to them. I think that was the one we won in like five or something like that too.
I think so.
So anyway,
good group therapy.
Yeah.
Great group therapy, especially for you two ahead of this weekend. So that's needed. All right. First series, we are going to preview the Florida Panthers versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Florida Panthers are coming in at minus 175 favorites to win the series. Lightning are coming in at plus 145 underdogs. All odds that will be read on this podcast are coming from FanDuel. So don't ask me. Season series, Florida wins the season series 2-1. This series is going to be a doozy. Before I go into all the analytics and bullshit that people just love to hear, first impressions, first thoughts from you two.
This is going seven.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be shocked if each of these games went to overtime.
Yeah, I was going to another thing just to keep in mind, I would save it to the end, but I think it's better to just keep in mind as we go through all this. I'm curious what you guys think, which series will have the most OT games and which series will be like the most amount of like not close games or whatever. This is definitely on my radar for most OT games. What comes to mind here, honestly, and maybe this is just recency bias because everyone's talking about it right now, but it's tough to bet against the team that has what will probably be the MVP.
Ooh, yeah, I know. Well, I mean, when you look at it, there's some stats that are on our outline here that are a little concerning for one of the teams, rather. The Panthers, they are a defensive dynamo. They allowed the fewest goals per game in the NHL this season. That's a huge strength for them. And they also had the sixth best penalty kill in the league based on percentage. They actually killed the most penalties in the league this year, killing 240. You flip to the other side and you go with the Bolts. They have an absolutely lethal power play. Best in the NHL this season at 28.5%. And they also have a good penalty kill, fifth best in the NHL. The part that I'm concerned about if I'm a Panthers fan is you got the number one power play in the NHL with the guy who has the most power play points in the NHL, and you take the most penalties in the NHL. So I'm kind of going to narrow it down to like, can the Cats stay out of the box?
There's things that are in your control in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's things that are just not. You know, we've seen it with puck luck. We've seen it with bounces, which have affected teams every which way. The number one thing you can do that you can control is stay the fuck out of the box. That's what the Cats need to do.
Very true. I also think worth mentioning, sometimes when you look at like what teams lead the league in penalty minutes, you got to factor in there's fights and stuff too. So doesn't necessarily mean that they're like taking the most 2 minute minors or whatever, but
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it definitely doesn't bode well. I don't know. I'll say my prediction. Let's keep running through it.
I mean, if you look on paper, I think it would be generally agreed on that the Bolts are not as deep this year as they have been in years prior, where they make some seriously deep runs. Obviously, they have their big five on the power play, and they are all absolutely incredible. But after that, you know, it's lacking a little bit of depth in their bottom six, I would say. I think Florida probably has the deeper team top to bottom. And just the storylines coming into this, the Lightning have owned the Panthers in the playoffs. They beat them in 2021 and 2022. In 2021, they won in six. And then we all remember the shocker in 2022 when Tampa swept them. And then Huberto ended up getting shipped out as a result of that. And there's just one other really good storyline here. We already mentioned the power play, but Cooch leads the NHL in power play points. Sam Reinhart leads the NHL in power play goals. I have a feeling special teams is going to play a huge, huge role in this series.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the narrative. And then, you know, sort of in association with that, that goaltending becomes a narrative. I think when you look at the two goaltenders in this series, it pretty much writes itself. I totally agree with what you said about Tampa not being deep as deep as they used to be. They're still absolutely the Tampa Bay Lightning, but this is not the Tampa Bay Lightning from 21 or 22 by any means.
Little battle of Moscow between the pipes for these two teams. And it's like both goalies, right? I mean, Vasi, obviously, everyone knows how good he can be in the playoffs and how good he's been historically. By his standards, maybe not his best season this year, but if he can flip that switch, We all know how that goes. And then Bobrovsky last year when they made the cup run was incredible. But he also can be sometimes iffy, I would say. I don't know. Mac, what are your thoughts?
It's also interesting because I think you could say both both teams don't really have another guy to turn to. It's kind of, you know, starting goalie or bust. There's no like, well, yeah, you know.
We it's got the devil's system. It's Marty Brodeur and then we're fucked.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's no, you know, that's no stab at the other guys. The other thing is they just don't play a whole lot. So it's hard to jump in if you have to in a situation like that. So I don't know. I think Vasi has looked a lot better to me in the last like 2 to 3 weeks. It seems like he's kind of getting hot at the right time.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's a slight edge for Tampa right now in goal.
The other thing to remember about Vasi is he's played like 2 less months than everyone else in the league right now. So that adds up. We know that. We've seen Good that point. With him, you yeah. know, in playoff runs. What was it, like 18, 19, where he just ran out of steam? That matters. It absolutely matters, especially when you've had really short off seasons like this team has had for the past 4 or 5 years.
So after we pitter patter around with all the fun stuff that people like to dissect, I would like to hear your formal prediction and why. And before you guys say that, I want everyone listening to know that before we all recorded, we asked each other, do you know who you're picking? And we all said, nope, not yet. So this should be a gut reaction on the spot. Nick, I'm going to start you off.
Bolts in 7.
Ooh. Okay. Why?
I've said this like a couple times over the past like year and a half on this show, I think, but it's the Patriots theory. They're going to be good until they're not. And yeah, Florida's great and they had a great year, but this is the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's a John Cooper coach team. Nikita yeah. Kucherov had the best season of his career somehow in the most quiet fashion possible. And he's going to win the MVP. And if he doesn't, it's a crime, but I got to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's no disrespect to the Florida Panthers, but that's just my gut feeling right now.
Mac, what are we thinking?
Meow, meow, cats in 7.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I like that. Oh God. I hate.
I made up my mind before Nick said anything, but then with everything Nick just said, he almost flipped me back to the other side though. God, this is such a hard one, but I'll stick with it. Cats in 7.
I think this is the hardest. Nah, maybe ball. No, I think this
we're
going to
say that series. Like 3 more times this episode, though.
I think this is the hardest series to predict. I have swayed back and forth so many times on this, but my brain says Florida, my gut says Tampa, so I'm going to follow my gut because it never steers you wrong. I'm going to go Tampa in. I'm going to go Tampa in 6. I think on home ice, they close Ooh. It out. I'm going to go Tampa in 6. Probably going to eat my words, but I think plus 145 is a very good price for, like Nick said, a John Cooper coach team.
I mean, yeah, Bolts? That's a great, great play.
I'm going to go Bolts in 6. That's going to be a hell of a series, though. I can't lie. I think I also made a prediction earlier in the like February. I was like, the Bolts are going deep. And Duclair, my guy to watch. I think there's a lot of props to be won there. So, all right, we're going to move on to the next series. I'm sure this one will take no longer than 2 hours and 40 minutes to cover, but the New York Rangers versus the Washington Capitals. The Rangers are coming in at minus 375 to win the series, and the Washington Capitals are a whopping plus 290 to pull off an upset against the Boys in Blue. The season series was split 2-2. I mean, in terms of what each team is good at, the Rangers are pretty much good at everything. There's really no weaknesses. They won the President's Trophy. They were the best team in the league.
9 goals for and 9 goals against in that season series, too.
That's wild. That's a good stat. And then for Washington, a lot of you Caps fans listening might know this already, but you guys kind of thrive in those low-scoring, one-goal tight games. The Caps were 20 wins, 2 regulation losses, and 11 overtime losses in one goal games this season. That 2 regulation loss is the fewest in the NHL. So, yeah, if the Caps can keep this boring, slow, kind of through the trenches. I think they that'll probably help them out the best. Nick, what are your thoughts immediately on the series?
Yeah, I echo everything you just said, especially the last point. If they can muck it up and slow it down and make it difficult for the Rangers, if they can keep it a one-goal game, they're in every single one of those games. They can turn it around very, very quickly. They can hurt you in a lot of ways that you don't think you can. That being said, if this turns into a track meet, this is going to be a turkey shoot, and it's going to get ugly fast. We've seen what happens. You know, you look at what the Buffalo Sabres did to the Caps. That's a young, quick, puck-moving team, especially with their defense that can jump up and activate, you know, basically on the flip of a dime. They tore them up, and multiple times this year they tore them up. So, you know, going up against the Laviolette coach team is obviously going to be difficult. He obviously knows the personnel, or at least the majority of the personnel that are going to be coming up against him here. So that's going to be a narrative to watch. I don't know, guys. I mean, I've got conflicting feelings on this one, where like my brain is trying to talk me into it, but on paper, it's just really hard to see a situation where the Caps can pull this off.
Yeah, I mean, you already touched on it. We have weaknesses for each team listed here. The Caps, if this does turn into a shootout, I don't see a world where they survive longer than 4 or 5 games at most. And for the Rangers, to be honest, I really couldn't think of one. So in effort to not offend all of the Rangers fans listening, I asked our good friend Mark Cotoraro what his would be. And he said, they're not that great at defending the rush. So there's that, all right? So we got one in there.
Won't be a problem.
I was gonna say that we never have odd man rushes, so I wouldn't worry about it. I think the big X factor for me, and this, you know, this is a no-brainer for any team, any matchup, but the Caps gotta score first. Yep. The last few games of the season, last 5 or 6 games, we scored the first goal and we didn't win all of them, but they just play so much better when they're not chasing, and they go into panic mode when they're down, even by a goal. They get away from some of the systems and they just look a little more reckless out there. So scoring first and kind of putting the Rangers on their heels is going to be huge. If they can find a way to do that in some of these games, I think they'll win a couple. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. I agree with what Nick said, where it's like, it's hard to see a way where we steal this one. But, you know, the good thing, and this is something Caps fans are not used to, there's no pressure on us. I mean, there's just
– yes.
That part I like is that there's no pressure on us whatsoever. People will be shocked if we win 1 or 2 games this series. So
I think the other big storyline here, and why I think Rangers fans can't just chalk this up as a slam dunk right off the bat, has to be the play of Charlie Lindgren. You know,
absolutely. And we saw, remember when the Caps got goalied when we won the President's Trophy by Halak?
Yes.
For the Habs?
Vividly, yes.
It feels similar.
Yeah.
He catches silly side too, doesn't he?
He does.
Yep.
So that's going to be a big one to look at for me. You know, yes, it's going to depend on a lot of the play around him. I know I just said this for the previous series, but oh my God, stay out of the box with that Zibanejad, Panarin, Fox, whoever the fuck else power play. That's just insane.
Zibanejad scares me the most out of anyone on this entire team. He is maybe the biggest cap killer in the league. I don't know the stats on it, but it just feels like that guy.
We don't need him. It's eye test.
He just has his way with our team every time.
Yeah, this is going to be, in my opinion, I'm kind of revealing my pick here, but and I'm really not even trying to hate on you guys or any of the Caps fans. I know the clip that everybody liked to comment on about me rooting against the Caps for this series, but I think this is going to be a big ass kicking, like truthfully. And the only reason I say that, last year, the Rangers kind of got embarrassed and they should have won that series. And the fact that the Devils beat them in 7, I think didn't sit well. Panarin did not play well last postseason. That's what led to the buzz cut, I think. He was like cursed with the flow and he was like, fuck it, I'm taking it off. And I think that they're going to rebound this year. I think they got a little chip on their shoulder. I also saw, I think Filip Hedl is coming back into the lineup for game 1. When the Rangers lost to the Lightning in the third round in 2022, he was arguably the Rangers' best playoff player that postseason. So he's going to be a big addition for the Rags coming back. But I will say this. I do think the Caps will get one. I don't think they're going to get swept.
I texted good friend of the program, Mark, about that. I just said Caps in four just to get a reaction out of him. And we were going back and forth talking about what we actually thought was going to happen. And he said he thinks it's going to be done in six, and that he's like, I'm cautious here because this should be a slam dunk, but I know it's not.
And like you said, Charlie Lindgren's going to steal one. I know it. And let me tell you, if it's game one, that just makes for great content for us because I'm so fired up for that. But let's hear your guys' picks. What are we thinking here?
I'm not going first for this one.
Mac.
I do think I think we'll win one of the first two games at MSG. I'm counting on that. Man,
that grin, that
Harry,
grin.
Harry, you're going first. You're going first.
I got rags in five.
Okay.
I got rags in five. You guys will get one. I'm looking at these two idiots like we want to say it, but we can't say it, but they're going to say it.
I can't bring myself to say it. I know what I'm looking at, and I still can't bring myself to say that the Rangers are going to win this playoff series. So Caps in seven, baby. Let's fucking go. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's do it. Caps in seven.
Oh, my God. All right. So here's what I want to ask you guys. Now we got the picks. There's a couple storylines. Tom Wilson. We know he's got a little bit of history with the Rangers, and now there's a guy by the name of Matt Rempe, who is also a blue shirt. What are your thoughts on just how the physicality of this series could potentially go?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Caps' physicality to close out the season. That game they played against Tampa, they literally just ran them over for three periods. It was the most hits thrown by a single team all season long. So yeah, I actually give the physical advantage to the Caps. I know that Matt Rempe is the size of a school bus and can run people over and punch them through the back of their face. But I don't anticipate that many fights, if that makes sense, in this series. You know, obviously the post-whistle stuff, that's going to happen. Big hits, I absolutely expect that to happen. But I don't necessarily see either of these teams wanting to drop the gloves, especially if you're the Caps, because like I said, you don't want to put that power play on the ice for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll want to, but I have a hard time. I don't know. This feels like classic Caps to have Rempe lay some bullshit hit on one of our guys. True. And Wilson will have to do something to stand up for him, and then they'll penalize Wilson more than they'll penalize Rempe for it, or some shit like that. It's going to stir the pot between the two fan bases. I'm fully expecting something like that to happen.
If I'm the Rangers, you know, Tom Wilson is one thing. Dylan McIlrath is another thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Honestly.
I mean, he kicked the shit out of Keegan Kolasar this year.
He did. I have heard, though, that Jensen and Sandin, they're not ruled out for game one. So we'll see if Big Mac is even in the lineup. I wouldn't mind seeing him get a game, honestly. I mean, he had the assist of a lifetime on the most important goal of our season in the last game of the year. So nothing to scoff at. We talked about Beck Malenstein too. He lays a lot of hits. Now don't have Hathaway anymore. We'll miss that. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Honestly, what scares me the most about Rempe is just like them planting his ass in front of Lindgren, in front of the net. Like that's what I fear more than anything that he's going to do physical wise. I mean, we like Nick said, we can match that pretty good, but we don't have anyone that fucking big. I mean, Protas, I guess, but he's not that big.
Well, no one who's that big and actually uses it.
Right. Exactly.
I knew that. You can't say Protas without saying how soft he is. It's so funny.
It's not that he's soft. It's just go to the net and be a fucking barn in front of the tendy. But no, Mac, I totally get what you're saying. It's exactly what the Penguins used to do with Patrick Hornquist. They would just park him in front of Holtby and shoot around him. So it was really tough for the Caps to defend then. It's absolutely going to be tough for them to defend now. So
yeah. Too bad Matt Rempe can't like actually score goals the way Tom Wilson can, though.
Had to plant that one in there. Love that.
Yep.
The Lindgren boys, they're going toe to toe. That's a nice little storyline. And then two props that I'm going to set here. So I was looking at FanDuel today. The over-under for Ovi goals in the series is set at 3.5. Once you go over 3.5, you can get it at plus money. Your thoughts on potentially Ovi getting four or more? Sure, why not, right?
That's a tough one.
The
Rangers don't strike me. I don't have the stats in front of me, but they don't strike me as one of the teams that he's like totally had his way with. There's a couple teams that he just fucking scores all the time against. Like, I think Boston and New Jersey are up there.
Atlanta was the big one. He used to just torment them.
Montreal, there's some random teams, and that's like all time. That's not saying like Montreal sucks this year, but that's like, you know, throughout his whole career. So, but I don't remember the Rangers being up there that high necessarily. So I don't know.
Obviously we know the Caps Rangers playoff history over the last 20 years. He has put up numbers against them. Obviously this year's a little bit different. I'm going to say over because I think the series is going the distance. So
yeah, that's a good point. I'll take it too.
I'm going to double down. Why not? I know it'll be wrong, but I'm doubling down.
I think Strome is going to have himself a series. I think he is fired up to play in the playoffs, and I don't think the lights are going to be too big for him. Yeah.
And then my second prop that doesn't require any feedback from you guys, but I will be reporting to the listeners of this podcast, the over-under amount of times that I get a text message in the group of fuck Jacob Trouba. I am going to set that at the series. I'm going to set it at 11.5 because as a Pens fan who has played the Rangers many of times since Trouba has been in blue and red, I can tell you that guy is going to cause a lot of ruckus. Some high hits. Some dirty hits. It's going to be fun.
I don't know. I know he does that kind of stuff, but I wasn't thinking about him at all. It's kind of like that.
That's why. It's
kind of like that Mad Men meme. I don't know if you've seen it where it's like somebody saying to Don Draper, what do they say? It's like, I hate you or something. And he just goes, I don't think about you at all.
Exactly. Which is just the coldest thing ever.
Right.
Trouba's obviously a force to be reckoned with. He's one of the premier defensemen in the NHL. I'm much more scared of a guy like Max said, like Zibanejad or Vincent Trocheck, because that's the kind of player that's going to come into the series and have fucking 8 goals.
Yeah. No, like you're so right.
Like Sean Bergenheim did with the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Caps when they got swept.
Yeah. Vinny definitely fucking scares me.
All right. Well, I think we've covered that series enough. Also Laviolette going against the Caps. So that's a nice little storyline in there too.
I got one question for you guys. Will we see Darcy Kuemper in this series?
If we do, it's in relief. It's not starting a game though.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there's at least one game where they get speed bagged.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah. I think Chucky gets chased in one of them.
And that's the other thing to look at here. But that's the
thing is, like, if they're getting speed bagged, then they throw Darcy in. Then you know everyone's coming up at carbs the next day with who's your game 3 starter or whatever. And it's like, then maybe you throw Darcy in, give him a shot. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's a good point, though, because it also, you know, if the Caps go down by
3. Won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, true. If the Caps go down by 3 goals, they can go to Darcy Kuemper and be totally fine. You know, I don't know if they can claw their way back into a game like that, but there's other teams like we were talking about with Tampa and Florida that don't have a guy like that.
True.
You know, if you need a quick reset button, you know, let in 2 right off the bat or something just to shake it up.
Yeah.
Not a bad option.
I agree.
Alrighty. Well, we are going to move on to our next series. And if this one sounds familiar, that's because it really is. The Boston Bruins are taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Bruins are coming in at -120 favorites to win the series, and the Leafs are coming in at even money, +100 to upset the Bees. Big storyline that all of Bruins Twitter is throwing in the face of hashtag Leafs forever. Boston swept the season series 4-0. So the Leafs have struggled against Boston this year. I think it's worth noting 2 of those wins were in either an overtime or a shootout. I mean, the storylines are all the same. Toronto's explosive. They can score with the best of them. And Boston's probably got the best goaltending tandem in the league. And they've got pretty good D. I don't know. What are your guys' initial thoughts? Hang on.
Do they have the best goaltending tandem in the league this year?
I would probably say yes.
I'm not saying no. I'm not asking because I disagree. I just think it's worth debating real quick.
Swayman started out really hot.
Who else would you put up there?
Who's even the game one start? This is kind of where I actually start to question Boston, because somebody said it, I think, when I was watching that Caps Bruins game last week. You know, they were talking about the tandem in Boston, and they said that was that NHL Network game. So they were talking about it on the network in between periods, and they said there's basically been no team ever to win a cup.
Yes.
With like two goalies splitting time like that. Maybe there's been teams that, you know, start with a guy, he plays a couple games, they flip the switch, go to the other guy, they win or whatever. You know, obviously we saw the Caps do that in 2018. There's been other teams like that, but there's
Penguins did like, it.
Larry Murray, yeah.
Right, you're right. But they're gonna have to figure something out where who is the guy? That's what worries me a little bit with them.
I can't remember who said it. It was on NHL Network today. I was watching previewing the show. They're saying the Boston's just going to rotate. That they aren't going to have I've read that there are people who are saying they would not be shocked, regardless if Game One is a shutout or not. They just rotate Swayman and Allmark like they've done all year. It's kind of weird to think about.
I mean, that's probably what they're going to do, but I just don't know. It's never been done. So it's like,
get the whole, if it's not broken, you know, don't try and fix it kind of mentality.
Right.
But I think things just change so much from the regular season to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, you could argue it's a different sport, like how different the regular season and the playoffs are. And I know that shouldn't affect goaltending, but when you're rotating guys like that and you're asking them to basically take like 4 or 5 days off between games, I don't know. It's the endless kind of need rest someone versus to get rust. Hot. Yeah.
I think this problem works itself out, but I do think
it's a good problem to have.
I think they end up with a guy. Like, I think they'll do the rotating thing throughout this first series. I think it'll be a long series. And I think one of those guys in his first couple of games will just look worse and they'll just stick with the other one. I don't know which one it's going to be, but that's kind of what I expect to happen.
The other thing about this series for me is I know that there's multiple storylines coming into it. In my opinion, there is one storyline coming into the series, and that is that the Toronto Maple Leafs cannot beat the Boston Bruins to save their lives at all. I mean, I know we make this analogy all the time, but the best analogy for it is the Caps finally beating the Penguins. So the big question to me is that going to happen this year?
Do the demons get exercised? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I texted you guys this earlier, and this is one of the storylines. The Leafs and Bruins have met twice in the Matthews era, and then the infamous Bergeron Game 7 winner right before he was drafted. The last three series between these two clubs have all gone 7 games, and the Bruins have won all three of them. Yeah. That is pain.
It is pain.
That is pain personified.
The Game 7 where the Bruins came back and Reimer's laying on the ice, that is easily one of the best playoff series of all time in my book.
So there's a couple other storylines coming into here. So I mentioned Toronto's offense. We all know how explosive they are. Matthews got 69 nice goals this season. Nice. But I think we all know that Matthews and Marner have kind of, I don't want to say faded away, and last year they won a round, but they haven't performed up to the hype in the postseason historically, right?
Yeah.
This is the series to ball out and go all in.
You can't go dark.
They got to show up for sure. Domi and Bertuzzi, two guys that are going to play a huge role in this. Bertuzzi going against his former club too.
True.
These two guys are going to have to bring it for Toronto. They were really good towards the end of the season. If they can keep that up, that kind of gives Toronto some flexibility with Tavares and Nylander and what they're going to do with those guys. So just like, and obviously we got to talk about your guys' favorite player, Ilya Samsonov. What are we going to get?
Well, I just spent a couple minutes critiquing what the Bruins have going on in net, and it's a non-issue when you look at what's going on in between the pipes for Toronto, because I fully expect this to be the opposite of, like, they put a guy in, he can't get the job done, they go, okay, how about you then? And they go to the next guy, and he sucks too, and they're back to option number one. That's what we've seen a lot of for these guys. What's the deal with Matt Murray? We're not seeing that, are we?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he's done, right? Like,
No, it's like the Titan.
But I know he's trying to work his way back, but that's not like a this year kind of thing, right?
I don't think so. Okay. I haven't seen that.
So it's Samsonov and Wohl, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I don't know. I mean, they're probably going to start Sammy game one, I'm guessing.
I would probably guess, yeah. I mean, if you look at his numbers this year, I've got him pulled up right now, and this is why win-loss can be deceiving sometimes. He went 23 wins and 7 losses this season, but he had a save percentage of .890 and a goals against above .300, which is not great.
I would be curious to cherry pick those stats after he got called back up, because they sent him down.
Yeah.
I think he was pretty solid after that.
He played way better after that. I'll give it to him. And then, you know, you look at, so we talked about Toronto, they can score and they kind of lack a little bit of goaltending. Well, for Boston, we mentioned they have the goaltending. They have good defensemen. Maybe one of their weaknesses, if this turns into a shootout series, I do not think that the Boston Bruins can match the offensive firepower of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if this goes run and gun, it's game over.
That's my biggest issue with them. I mean, it's like, you look, we said it before, but you look at the Bruins on paper, that lineup, and you're kind of like, who? Like, a lot of these guys,
how is
like,
this team good?
Yeah. And it's mostly because of like the goaltending, honestly. I don't know. The other thing that's tough for me personally predict this series is because obviously, you watch the most amount of games against your own favorite team. So I'm thinking about how the Caps play Boston and how the Caps play Toronto. And we just get worked by the Maple Leafs every single fucking time. And we actually match up really good against the Bruins. So that's kind of feeding into my biases a little bit right now. I know it shouldn't. Caps don't matter in this series, but I don't know. It factors into my decision-making just a wee bit.
No, I totally get the eye test thing. I think that absolutely goes into gut feelings here. Yeah.
This is tough. I mean, just two more numbers for the Leafs. They led the league in 5-on-5 goals, so they can score at even strength. And then on the power play, they had the 7th best one in the league.
Yeah.
They can kill you both ways. So I feel like we talked more about the Leafs, but obviously that's going to get the drama. That's going to get the headlines. And if Matthews and Marner don't play up to par, that's going to be a problem. So what do you guys think?
So this is the one that I've had my mind made up since, like, we knew that this was going to be a series. Boston in 7.
Wow. Bowens is kicking himself.
I'm sorry, man. You know what? I know it was his birthday recently. Sorry, I hate to do that to you, but I just look at it. It's just eye test for me. I'm sorry.
Mac, what are we doing here?
As much as I would love to see the guy succeed, I just don't think Ilya Samsonov is up for the amount of pressure that is going to fall on not just that team, but specifically on him in the next week or two. And because of that, I'm going Bruins in 7.
And that right there was 75% of my decision.
It's not even that he's like so terrible or whatever. It's just, right. I know he's got issues with confidence, or has in the past. And I just think that's a recipe for an absolute nightmare here in this situation.
Unless like the trainer like physically stitches that hockey stick to his hand, this could be a problem.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I'm assuming he's the starter. I'm seeing on Daily Faceoff. I was just going through their lines. They have Martin Jones as the second guy, so who knows? Maybe it's, I don't know. But regardless of both of those, I don't love the goaltending regardless. So you two go Boston, which really makes me want to go Toronto. And you guys know
somebody's got to do it.
You know I pull
like, what,
for the
your
Leafs.
Third favorite team?
Or whatever. You know I pull for the Leafs. I usually pick them. I want to pick them so bad.
Do it. Pick them so we don't all look so stupid when they win in like 5.
Do you honestly want to know the one thing that's bothering me is similar to the Rangers. Boston underperformed last year. They got embarrassed, and that's sticking with them. Like, they
that
were the
true.
Best team of all time, and they lost
that's
in
true.
The first round. And I just can't help but think that, like, they're going to come back with a vengeance. And this line, that -120 screams like, I don't know. This is so hard. I'm going to go Boston. I hate that I'm doing that. I don't want to do that. I want to pull for the Leafs, but I got to go Boston. I'll do Boston in seven. Why not?
Ooh, love it.
That's a tough one. That one hurts. I don't want to do that, but I'm betting with my brain on that one. All right. And then
before we move on, that is a series I am very excited to be a fly on the wall for.
Yeah. We're going to look really dumb if I hate that I did that, but
that's
what
I'm saying. One of us has got to fucking pick the lead.
Two of the people on this show just said the Caps were going to beat the Rangers in seven games. So we're going to look pretty stupid either way.
You're right. You're right.
I'm going Boston because you know what? If I was second, I would have taken Boston, but because I was third, I felt the need. I'm not going to let that sway me. So, all right. Last series. And we put it last because, you know, the saying, last but not least, this is the least. This is going to be the most boring series you've ever watched. The Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders. We've got the Hurricanes coming in at -350 favorites. And then the Islanders at +275 underdogs for this series. The season series was even at 2-2. Both teams had one win in overtime. Rematch of last year where Carolina won the series in six. I mean, guys, Carolina, we all know what they can do. They're the odds-on favorite to win the cup.
Was this a round one series last year as well?
I think it was.
I think it was round one.
Yeah, I don't I think the Islanders right. got through to the second round last year, did they?
Yeah, because Carolina won this.
Yeah.
Won their next series 4-1 or 4-2 and then got swept by Florida.
Yep, I think you're right. Okay.
Yep. So Carolina, they've got some key names this year that they didn't have last year. They didn't have Frendy Anderson. They didn't have Svechnikov because he was hurt. And now they've got Jake Guentzel. So, you know, on paper, this team is loaded. There's no way around it.
This is the most lopsided series on paper by miles, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you could probably argue, actually, there is no argument. The Hurricanes are the best special teams team in the NHL. They had the best penalty kill in the NHL. And they had the second best power play in the NHL. So regardless of what the Islanders are doing or not doing, they're kind of fucked in that regard. And then the defense, we say this every year since this show started, they always have a top five defense in the league. So not only can they score, they can play D as well. However, and this might, maybe I'm talking myself into something. The Islanders are hot. And when you get hot at the right time, I believe there's something to be said for that. They've won 8 of their last 10 to end the season. They got that Metro 3 spot. And they've got a goalie, regardless if it's Sorokin or Varlamov, who can go rogue and just disrupt a Stanley Cup favorite just like that.
I also think Patrick Waugh is he's being heard there. I think the boys are listening for sure.
So when you look at both team strengths, I mean, we just kind of read them off. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me that jumps out, and I'm going to start with Carolina here, is the fact that, yes, the Hurricanes are this offensive and defensive really juggernaut. They're absolutely loaded. They don't capitalize on a lot of the chances that they get. They're very much a quantity over quality team. The Islanders are the polar opposite. They capitalize on the majority of high-value scoring opportunities they get, as long as Matt Barzal isn't trying to shoot the puck. They're very much a quality over quantity hockey team. So I'm really excited to see that go up against each other. Islanders, I'm going to say it like I've said it for the other series, stay out of the box. You put that power play on the ice, you are just writing your own will at that point.
And to go off of that, the Islanders have the dead last penalty kill in the NHL. So yeah, there is no mistakes allowed in terms of discipline for New York.
Is Freddie Anderson, he's healthy, he's the starter?
I believe he's going to be a starter, yep.
And are we thinking the Isles go with Varlamov game one?
I think at this point you have to.
He was hot. I'd ride it.
Yep.
I'd ride it. You know, for Carolina, you know, Mac, like you just said, Freddie, Kochekov, all those guys, they don't really have proven goaltending success in the postseason necessarily, whereas if you look at Sorokin and even Varlamov to a certain extent, they've been there. They've won a couple series in the past. And the Islanders, you know, penalty kill sucks. And if this turns into a shootout, they can't keep up. This
if they can
too loaded.
Muck it up and keep this like a 2-1 hockey game, 3-2 hockey games, they are absolutely in this series.
Yeah.
And then that plus 275 starts to look real tasty.
I believe this series will be closer than most people think. I do not think this is something that is a 4 or 5 game series. I think this at least is going 6. The Isles are hot. Like, they played really well down the stretch, and we would text each other, what the fuck? Why is this team good? Why are they making the playoffs? Why are they doing this? I don't think that's going to – and that's a hard barn to go into. That is a hostile environment.
Yeah, and it's usually full year-round, unlike the Hurricanes Arena.
Friend of the program might be making that drive down to Raleigh for game one. We'll see.
Despicable.
Absolutely. Whatever the Jake Guentzel props are, over. All of them. This guy is an absolute gamer in the playoffs. Point per game in his career. He torches the Islanders historically. This is where he thrives. So whatever your bets are for Jake Guentzel, over assists, over goals, I promise you, you won't regret it. I will ask this question. The Hurricanes are the odds-on favorite to win the Cup. They haven't had the success that they would have liked in the previous years. If they lose this series, is Rod Brind'Amour officially on the hot seat?
I would say yes. At this point, they've been the Vegas of the East for like 3 years and haven't done shit. And as we know in this business, you've got a window. And that window is going to run out of steam at some point. You can't keep doing this forever. So,
yeah.
Time to shit or get off the pot.
Let's get the picks in. Mac, have you let us off yet?
No, I'll go Canes in 6.
Nick.
I echo that. Canes in 6.
Canes in 6.
I wanted you to say Isles in 7. So
I don't want the Hurricanes to win this series by any means. And I don't like the Islanders. I have no reason to root for the New York Islanders.
We have an easier matchup in the second round.
Yeah, very true.
So if I'm looking at Nick did technically choose an underdog because he chose the Caps. Okay. Gotcha. Because I was going to say before we started recording, if we all choose favorites, but like by accident, we should all just jump off a cliff because that's not how this goes.
Chalky if we did that.
Well, and that's also never how it pans out, right? There's always some, I guess me and Mac have that Tampa pick. But yeah, should be a fun first round.
No, I said Cats.
Oh, no, you said, I'm sorry, Nick, you did have an underdog. Okay. Yeah. I confused you with Mac. My bad.
It happens.
You guys, Caps fans, they all look the same. So we're going to do some rapid fire questions to end the episode. But before we do, this rapid fire segment is brought to you by Prop Tracker. Prop Tracker is your home for player prop research and finding outlier bets for NHL, NBA, NFL, and more. Once you find a bet you like, start tracking it to get notified of its progress, like shots, receptions, or rebounds. Go to proptrackerapp.com/emptybetters to try a free month of the Android or iOS app on us. You can find that link in the bios of our social media accounts. Great app. Highly suggest it. Will be great for the playoffs. I am parched. Holy shit. Okay. Rapid fire. We're going to go quick. Don't like need an explanation. Just like from the hip. Let's see it. Which series are you most excited for? You guys can't say the Caps.
Leafs, Bruins.
Agree. Yep.
I'm going to go Cats, Bolts. I think
that's a good one too. That's probably my second one after that.
I figured it was going to be one of those. How many series do you predict will go 7 games?
Out of these 4, 2.
Okay.
Yeah, 2, maybe 3. I'll say 3. It'd be different.
I'm going to go 1. Go 1.
Bases covered, fellas. Love it.
Which series is most likely to have an underdog win?
Jeez, Tampa. But...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if that counts that's, as an underdog. But
I Tampa... think if we're just talking odds-wise,
Tampa. I'll ride that. That's fair. Which series will have the most fights?
Caps, Rangers.
Ooh.
Yeah, probably. The rivalry is bigger in some of the other ones, but I just, well, Tampa, Florida could get.
That's my pick.
That could get murky. I'll stick with Caps, Rags.
I think Bruins and Leafs is a sneaky underdog winner for that one.
That's
but
a good
go,
one too.
I'm gonna go Cats. Cats.
So just Pulse. Not Canes Islanders.
Yeah, that's just nothing interesting is happening in that series, no matter what.
Which series will have the most goals scored?
Bruins Leafs, I think. Methinks.
I really hope it's not the Caps Rangers series. I don't know.
Yeah, because if it is, it'll just mean we lose 6-0 four times.
Exactly. I actually am going to say Canes Islanders for this one.
I like that pick.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Right. I sneakily like that. That's gonna
and
be
I'm
my
really
pick.
Counting on the Canes to hold that because the Islanders aren't.
I'm going to make that my pick as well. I think that's going to be a sneaky high-scoring series.
I think there's going to be a couple games there where it's like 4-1, 5-1, you know.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I would have said Bolts, Panthers, but the Panthers kind of locked it down at this point.
Yeah.
Which series will have the fewest goals scored? I'm going to go Rags Caps.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna agree with you.
Is that mainly because you don't think the Caps are going to score a lot of goals?
Kind of, yeah.
That's probably part of it.
But
yeah.
I also think it's what we said. It's like if that series is going to go the distance, which I said it is, and I'm sticking with it, it's going to be because the Caps are mucking it up and playing tight hockey games, low scoring, low event games.
Yeah, I'll take that one as well.
All right, last question. My most favorite question out of all of these. Which series will have the most games go to overtime?
Because I just want pure chaos to happen, Leafs Bruins.
I'm tailing that.
Okay, I don't know why. I just rubbed the Margarita Mac crystal ball. And this isn't what I was going to just say what I thought in my head, but instead I rubbed the magic crystal ball.
Which one is that, left or right?
You guys aren't going to both. You're not going to believe this, but it's the correct answer is actually Hurricanes Islanders.
I could see that too.
I definitely see that. I could see that. All right. Good rapid fire segment. Love that. It's a fun little thing to do. Mac, real quick. We got a lot of new listeners probably over the past couple of seasons. You want to explain the Margarita Mac?
Yeah. How many years ago? Three, I think.
They all blend together at this point.
Yeah, I was just at my local favorite Mexican spot, Conejito's place, and I think I was on Marg number two, if I do recall, and was just kind of looking through the board, trying to find a bet for that night, and just kind of came to me that a certain game that night was going to go to overtime. I don't know why, but I knew it in my gut, and I bet it, and I told everyone to bet it, and I was right. And that's how Margarita Mac's Overtime Bar and Grill was born.
Keep a lookout on Twitter if Mac is feeling it. It's a nice little segment we have, the Margarita Mac segment.
Should probably bring that shirt back to the store. I think it's time, right before the summer.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I think we're due. Trivia, and we're out of here. Mac, floor is yours.
All right, this is an easy one, which is okay because we've gone a little long anyway. But on this day, April 18th in 2001, what goalie became the first goalie in NHL history to play in 200 Stanley Cup playoff games?
Can you repeat that one more time? I'm sorry.
This goalie became the first goalie in NHL history to play in 200 Stanley Cup playoff games as of April 18th, 2001.
That's insane now that I think about that. It's not Patty Waugh, is it?
Sure is.
That makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense.
He made 22 saves in the Avalanche's 5-1 win over the Canucks for his 125th postseason win, which, by the way, if you're doing the math, that's pretty crazy. 125 wins in 200 games. Waugh holds the all-time record for goaltenders with 247 games played and 151 wins all-time in the postseason. Crazy.
That is insane.
Maybe he rubs a little bit of that mojo off on Mr. Semyon Varlamov. We'll see.
Maybe if I'm lucky, Mr. Talent will rub his tentacles all over me.
God damn it.
Speaking of Patrick Waugh, I think I texted you guys this earlier just before we wrap up. I was watching that unrivaled E60 between the Avs and the Red Wings. It sort of profiles the whole Claude Lemieux on Chris Draper hit and then the subsequent Darren McCarty kicking the shit out of him. It's amazing if you guys haven't watched it. If you have ESPN Plus, it's on there. Just search for it. But it's basically 2 hours of everyone telling the story, and specifically McCarty and Lemieux being side by side each other on stage in person, which is just really cool to see them hash it out after, explaining all the intricacies that went into that rivalry and how it exploded essentially overnight.
Yeah, no, that is really cool. I gotta go tune into that.
It also just showed how like fucking nuts hockey in playoff hockey in the 90s was. It was just war, for lack of a better word. Like any of those hits would be a 40 game suspension now.
Survivor.
Literally, yeah.
All righty. Well, any final notes before we wrap up?
Just want to quickly, because I forgot to do so, remind everyone that that trivia question was brought to you by Elwoods. If you want to watch some hockey games this postseason, head down to Elwoods on Water Street in downtown Milwaukee. They've got all the NHL games, full package, and obviously these games will they'll mostly be what, True TV, TNT, some of that
Yep.
stuff, right?
Yep.
So,
ESPN, all that.
yeah, Elwoods
Maybe
always has those
ABC,
games
or is
on.
that just Cup Final?
No, they'll get some ABCs
There could
there.
be, yeah.
I
But
need a
yeah,
margarita
shout out
Mac.
Elwoods.
I need a margarita Mac at Elwood's.
Oh yeah.
It's full circle.
True. I've never gotten a marg there. They might like make fun of me. It's not that kind of bar,
If you explain to them the
I'm sure
purpose.
my girl Camille would whip one up for me, but yeah,
There you
we'll
go.
see. We'll
You could
see.
also just put a lime in a beer and call it the same
You're
thing.
right. You're
Yeah.
right. I could definitely get like a Pacifico or something like
There you
that.
go.
Final notes. Anything you want to get off your chest before we put you guys through the ringer of round one?
Ready to get hurt again. Let's do it.
Big time. Let's do it.
Righty, everybody. We appreciate the love and support as always. Thanks for tuning in. And without further ado,
Class dismissed.